if you spend $100 or more in store, you're going home with a free pheromone spray to attract your lover right before Valentine's Day, in store and online. And then if you buy any high-end love product, you're also going home with a hand lotion from them as well, and it smells so good. We additionally have buy one, get one half off all masks in store and online. It's much
more intimacy, more often.
Thank you for all the suggestions so far on the Lovers Lane podcast. What do you want to hear about this year? Send us a message on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or direct to our email.
More romance, more intimacy, more often, Lovers Lane.
Hello again, and welcome back to the Lovers Lane podcast. My name is Haley. I'm a romance specialist in our stores, an intimacy expert online, and as you may know, since today is episode 17, the host of the Lovers Lane podcast. In today's episode, I actually get to chat with Frank Lawrence. He's an author, designer, and illustrator of the Vibrating Tarot Deck. And we get to kind of talk to him about his bridge and transition really into the sex positive community coming from a graphic design background through this new work and learn about the innovative piece of functional art he's making with this tarot deck. Begin February, and I actually started organizing content for this podcast in August. So him and I kind of grew together in this sex education and decided to do a fun, lighthearted podcast episode talking about his work and to make a Lover's Lane tarot card for his interpretation of the Rider-Waite-Smith tarot deck. So I'll kind of turn it to the conversation between me and Frank. He's super informative and open and honest about his process, creating the deck, and his experiences with other brands. If you have questions, you can go ahead and reach out to me. Our social is at @LLPodcast_. We're also on Facebook or Apple Podcasts with the Lovers Lane podcast. Or you can reach out to me directly, of course. My email is Haley. That's Haley@loverslane.com. In the description of this episode as well, I have links to the Vibrating Tarot Deck, and hopefully some crowdfunding will come soon so we can actually have this amazing project in our hands. Thank you again, Frank, for joining me on episode 17 of the Lovers Lane podcast.
All you need is love, Lovers Lane.
I'm excited. We actually have been talking for quite a bit now. I don't know, since the podcast was like brand new. So it's great to have you on for 2021 because this year has just been kind of crazy. Have you been mostly at home working on the deck, or what have you been up to?
Definitely a lot of time spent at home. Yeah, like everyone else, I think. I generally spend a lot of time at home doing freelance graphic design work anyway. And I guess that's just been put into overdrive. I can barely rip myself away from my work as it is. So all this isolation at home has, it's really put a fire under my butt to be a little more productive than I usually am.
Right. Yeah, I like that. So I know that you do graphic design, obviously, but where did this idea of the tarot deck like begin? Like what happened where you're like, this is a really good like kind of correlation?
Yeah, actually, it came about a number of years ago, and I just wasn't ready to move on it, so I had to put it on the back burner. But it's hard to describe exactly how it came about. There are probably a number of factors that came together, but like a lot of other ideas, it just sort of came to me. I thought it was a worthy idea to try out, so I put together a few different examples. I remember I worked on the Lover's card immediately because that was the first one that sort of came to me visually. Yeah. I pictured this sex toy up in the sky in the place of the angel that is on the current Lover's card in the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, which is the deck I'm doing a derivative of. So that card is set up with an angel up in the sky looking down on two figures below. And I thought to myself, it's the Lover's card. I chose a toy that is a couple's vibrator. And I don't know, just a lot of things clicked. And I went to the drawing board and I tried out this image. And then I liked it. So I tried out a few different toys on a few different cards. And I knew I had something right away. I was actually surprised that it didn't exist in the world already. Whenever I have an idea, I'm always worried that maybe somebody else came up with it a few years back or 10 years back. And so I searched for it anywhere I could find online. I didn't find anything that was quite like it. So I knew I had to eventually make the move. I just wanted to wait for the time to be right.
Yeah, I like how you're kind of keeping like the original design and like feel, but you're putting in these images that are like, I don't know, they're almost like modernized and kind of like interesting and just a little avant-garde and cool, you know, they're just different.
Yeah,
I
thanks.
yeah, it's interesting that you grabbed the Lover's card to talk about too, because that is the one that I'm like, this is like I think my favorite one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so. Just because it's like just the symbolism of it is really good. It's got the we vibe. Is that the sync or the chorus in there? It's probably the sync, right?
Yeah, well, I've tried out with both toys. That's the good thing about this is that once the background is prepared, you can swap in a variety of different toys in any given spot. So I'm excited to work with Weavibe. It's a difficult puzzle I'm putting together because right off the bat, I just had to slot toys onto cards just to get stuff out there. And that was the way that I started approaching companies with these images already prepared. For them to see. And then my method changed along the way to one that involves me reaching out to the companies ahead of time. Now that I have some support behind me and some endorsements behind me, my method is evolving as the year goes on. I started this in February of 2020. So it's been almost a full year now. So there's
Hey.
been a lot of growth. There's been a lot of change in my process, but WeVibe is definitely a company that I really, really do want to work with. They're very close to where I am. I'm from the Toronto area, and they're from the Southern Ontario area as well. So
Oh, that's cool. Perfect. Your neighbors. Kind
yeah,
of.
we are, yeah.
What has it been like working with like other brands? Are you learning a lot? Like, were you more kind of on the spiritual side of things or the sex toy side of things? Like, where were you when you began and like kind of how's the overlap going?
Well, it's been a fantastic journey for me so far because I'm learning so much, and I'm learning so much about an industry that I've always wanted to know more about, which is the sex toy industry, the sex positive culture and community. And I'm just really glad that this project is providing a vehicle for me to engage with all these wonderful people, because I do come to this project from a graphic design standpoint, from a tarot card standpoint, definitely spiritual for sure, but definitely through that vein. My business is, well, I'm a book designer predominantly. I'm a typographer, and I've specialized in print-based design. So that led me to book design, and so that's what I do in my community. And I work a lot with local book publishers, and we put all kinds of different books out. And I've always been drawn to the idea of cards from a tactile, a graphic design standpoint. And I've designed a few decks of cards in the past. They've been ESP tester sets, a few preliminary tarot card sets. Nothing that's been printed and that is available to purchase. But just little side projects here and there. I've always poked around at that kind of stuff. And so I have a lot of original ideas for tarot decks, and I wanted to do one to get my feet wet, to learn the structure of the deck from a designer standpoint. So my first deck that I wanted to design wasn't going to be an original deck. It was going to be a parody or a derivative deck. And so that's the one I'm doing right now, the Vibrating Tarot. So basically what I'm doing is I'm isolating the backgrounds. I'm removing the characters altogether from the backgrounds. And so I'm putting different modern and iconic sex toys in their place. And so it's a lot less about the, well, I don't give myself enough credit. I say it's less about the design work and more about the problem-solving nature of the project, because from a designer standpoint, really a designer is a problem solver. I have this, the, I have 78 blank cards, and I have more than 78 toys. There's hundreds and hundreds of toys, so I need to choose the right ones for the right cards and for me, that's what the project is all about. And it's about outreach and engagement. But as far as the actual design work, there's very little original design work I'm doing. I'm taking the backgrounds that already exist, and I'm taking studio photography of these toys that already exist, and I'm putting them together. Mm-hmm. So that's basically the project. It's you asked about what I'm learning, and you know, like I said, I come to it from a design standpoint. Right now, I'm learning. I'm soaking up so much knowledge about the sex toy industry. You know, just the basic learning blocks. And then building upon there, seeing how these companies relate to one another and how they relate to the market globally. Mm-hmm. Different toys pairing up with other toys, specific toys pairing up with specific lubricants, stimulant creams, rules around those, introducing BDSM gear as an element in the cards alongside these well-known mainstream toys. So again, it all goes back to this puzzle that I'm putting together. Yeah. That's really the joy of it for me.
Yeah, for sure. Well, what's interesting to me is the people that you're working with in like the sex toy industry are very kind of like, I don't know. I feel like we already have like a little bit of like that spirituality element. And I was so curious, like, why does this work so good together? Like the sex toys on a tarot card, it's interesting. So I took it upon myself. I'm kind of looking up like, why is spirituality like connected to sexuality like so much? And there are like so many different like scholarly articles from forever ago that are like, there's no way that you can talk about your sexuality unless you're eventually like bringing up the idea of something like metaphysical, like a god or like your spirituality or something like that. So myself, I have, I don't know, probably 5 different tarot decks. So I guess I would be a purchaser of your product as well. But what's also a whole nother thing that I was kind of thinking about with this is, do you ever get like a new tarot deck and you just, before you even like want to cleanse it with your incense or crystals or anything that you do like that, you just like look through everything and you're like, oh, they're so pretty. Like they're beautiful. And you like kind of like develop like a connection to the piece of art before you want it to help and guide you. So what I was thinking with like the vibrating tarot deck is like, it's kind of like that meets like your own self and your sexuality meets like partner play. It could be like a game for couples. Like it could be something like that they're connecting with themselves. Like I just love the bridge between it. It's really, really interesting.
Thank you. Yeah, those are very kind words and super relevant to what I'm really trying to push, which is that this project should be all about creating conversations, starting conversations, breaking down barriers around learning these types of things and learning about them with other people. The tarot is a very introspective deck. You know, you look into the cards and different people see different things because like so many other systems of divination, they're mirrors and we see ourselves reflected in them. And that's the power of my project, I feel, is that people are able to look at the image and create their own relationship with it immediately. And it's their own unique relationship with it. So that one of my cards will mean something completely different to you have a room full of people and there's a room full of different meanings that card will have. And so it's a tool that can be used on your own. It's a tool that can be used with a partner. And like you said, there are so many different ways to engage with it. And I'm learning new ways to engage with it as I talk to people, mm-hmm. ways that I never even intended initially, and ways that I never even considered along the way until I've spoken with people and they've told me what it has meant to them. And, I have to be completely honest. When I came up with the idea, I kind of chuckled to myself and I thought this would be like a great novelty thing, but it grew so much from there. It really grew out of that, you know, those initial ideas of this sort of parlor game. That laughter element really has dropped off. And sure, you get a chuckle when you first look at it because it's the novelty of the thing. It's like this new thing. And that initial laugh, that's a good thing. But what I didn't want this project to become was just this funny thing where it's like it ends up being a throwaway product. I didn't want that. I really felt when it became popular in the community, I really felt an obligation and a responsibility to produce the best deck that I could, a responsible deck, a sex positive and safe, body safe deck, and one that embraces the whole spectrum, and one that can be used by pretty much anyone along the way.
Yeah.
In a variety of different ways. So the versatility of it is I think a strong point.
Definitely. I get the kind of like laughter chuckle thing on two sides of things. Like in the store, when somebody has never been to a Lover's Lane or anything like that before, they immediately do. They like are kind of curious about something.
Yeah.
They get the laughter, they get the chuckle, but guess what? They come back and all of a sudden now they're like asking me real questions and like connecting with me, seeing like what is the toy for them. And you develop like kind of a relationship just similar to you do with like a tarot deck over time. Like you kind of have one that you gravitate towards or that you know like in that moment which one you're reaching for. Same thing goes for like if you did describe to somebody that is maybe a little bit more religious or doesn't really have any religious beliefs and you're like, oh, I'm into tarot crystals, like anything like that, like any type of like spirituality, they're kind of like, oh, okay. You know, they're maybe taken aback by it, but then they're asking you questions. Oh, what's my zodiac sign? What does that mean? What's all this?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It just fits really, really well together. And, you know, I'm curious on what is kind of like the process of you picking which toy for which card.
That's been the highlight of one of the highlights of this project, of the graphic design aspect of this project. And that's what I keep coming to is that's what gets me excited about putting these things together. Like I said before, I'm not doing any real drawing. I'm not doing any photography. I'm doing very little typography. So from a graphic design standpoint, this could be the type of project that could, you know, maybe you might lose interest in because it ends up being somewhat repetitive. There's this great idea and you want to put it together and you do, and you put together five cards and that five cards turns into 20. I've put 20, maybe I've put like 30 cards together within this year. And now I'm find myself wanting to move on to other things, not other projects, but other aspects of this project just to keep my interest there because it can get repetitive. But what really does prevent it from becoming too repetitive is the fact that there are hundreds and hundreds of toys and there's 78 cards. There's more than 78 slots because a lot of the cards have two or three or four characters per card. You know, there might be 150 to 200 spots that I need to fill with toys. It's not just a matter of throwing a toy on a card. You really, I mean, like for me, and this project, I feel that I need to match up my toys with specific cards. The card that they're meant to be on, the card that speaks to what that toy is telling us, to how that toy is used. And so there are specific toys that fit on specific cards right away. They just click immediately. And then there are some that you need to try out in a few different spots here and there. I remember one of note is the Enjoy Pure Wand. I tried that out because of the curvature and because of the juxtaposition in the coloring. I tried it out on a specific card, but I ended up switching it to another card because, well, I tried it out on the Hermit. It was just the dark background and the silver color of the metal on the toy. Just, I felt really popped. But the whole time along the way, I was thinking that this looks like the strongest toy I've ever seen. It looks bulletproof. It looks like it's just like a shield. It was screaming out strength. It's just strength to me. And so I end up switching it. I actually did move it to the strength card. And so there are certain things like that that end up working out really well in certain situations. I approached the Tracy's Dog Company because I wanted to use their toy in place of the actual dog on the moon card. So sometimes it works out that way. Mm-hmm. I just revealed the Oh My G by Ioba Toys on the High Priestess. So the Oh My G, it also relates to the Holy Trinity from Pipe Dream going on the Hierophant card. Again, a religious name for a toy going on a religious card. So sometimes it's kind of obvious. Other times it's not obvious at all. For example, everyone tends to think that the magic wand should be on the magician card. And I just don't see it that way. Mm-hmm. And so I've built an argument and I've explained how I see the Lush 2 existing on the magician card for specific reasons. And then the magic wand exists on the world card for very specific reasons there. So sometimes it's about the meaning of the toy and the meaning of the card. Sometimes the name of the toy just clicks. Sometimes it's about the shape of the toy because you can't discount that. There's no way you can fit a toy into a spot if it objectively doesn't look right in that spot.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what it's called, or doesn't matter who's giving you their endorsement saying, you know, this would look great here. In the end, it needs to fit for a variety of different reasons. It needs to look good and it needs to have the meaning behind it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the other side of that is approaching these companies because I need to have their full support and endorsement. And it's been incredible to me because in the beginning, I was almost kind of worried to show my art to these companies and say, oh, well, you know, I have this idea. I don't know if you might like it. You might not. What do you think? Can I move forward with it? I didn't even really have all the ideas or the details ironed out. But I approached three of the biggest companies right away. I approached Magic Wand, Aneros, and a third. I'll remember what it is in a second. But they all embraced me right off the bat. They all said I was doing meaningful work, really, really cool work. Pipe Dream was the third.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me the confidence I needed right at the beginning of this thing. Because without that initial boost of confidence from these global companies, these well-respected leaders, I don't think I'd be where I am right now. Because, you know, I've been involved in so many projects along my career, and nothing's really taken off like this before. And it's becoming popular for a variety of different reasons, but you know, those endorsements early on from those big companies made a huge difference. And so now it's a matter of approaching companies, and you know, it's been a tough year for everybody. And you're an artist, and you're an independent artist from nowhere. You don't really have too much to show, and you're approaching these huge companies and you're saying, can I use your image? And so some of them get back to you right away. Some of them I still haven't heard back from. And it's just a matter of being patient, keeping positive, keeping progress. And eventually I'm sure that the companies that have not gotten around to my requests yet, I'll eventually land with them and things will fall into place. So working with each company is different. That's been a learning curve too. A lot of them embraced me right away, and I was able to put out the progress that I have so far. So it's been good.
The good thing is like a lot of these, well, every toy company that I know that we sell that's just like on the market too, is they're all extremely like sex positive. They're like, you're doing you. That's amazing. You're getting your pleasure. You're like yourself, like embracing yourself. And if that is something in the metaphysical or something like that, like I don't see why anybody wouldn't want to be a part of that, because in a way, you know, it's also their image kind of on the shelves as well in a different light that people would be like, oh, I've never seen that one. I might have to go look at it or something too. So it's interesting kind of where you fall in between of, I think, even getting more people to be involved in toys and their sexuality if they're kind of on more of the spiritual side of things too. So in total, how many cards do you have like completed that you are like happy with so far?
Well, it was a goal for me to get through the entire major arcana. So that's 22 cards by the end of this calendar year. I started in the end of 2020. I started in February with my preliminary ideas from a few years back. And I updated those ideas and I launched it in February. So by the end of 2020, I will have officially gone through the entire major arcana, 22 cards. I will have debuted each and every card, but that doesn't mean that they're done, that they're set in stone because of the nature of support and endorsements and permissions. And there are some cards that feature toys that I am just in love with the company, in love with the toy, in love with the marriage of the toy on a specific card, but just waiting on business and stuff. What I want to do in 2021 is work on the minor arcana. I can almost work double as fast in the second year because I've been preparing many more cards in the meantime than I've been debuting throughout the calendar year of 2020. So I have a lot of companies that I have support from that are coming up to be debuted in 2021. And they're all going to be shuffled out in the first half of 2021. It's a quick project to put together, really. It is. If I just spent 40 hours for a number of weeks and I had free range to use any toy I want, I could put the deck together pretty quickly. But these logistical things, I don't want to say they slow the process down. The
They're
process
enhancing
it
it.
well, the process is what it is. So
Right.
it's not a matter of anything being slowed down or sped up. I'm happy to take a year or two to build this project because, to be honest, I don't have all the answers. It takes time to find them all, and it takes time to build the relationships in the right way. And I want to do that. To me, this isn't just about, I keep saying it's not just about putting pictures on cards and selling the deck. I really, really do want it to mean something. And so I find that taking the time not only enhances and strengthens the project, it helps to legitimize the project, but it also helps for me to find my audience along the way. And so, a lot of projects that I've done, I've kept them very, very close to myself until they were 100% finished. And then I show them to the world. Well, people don't have the time to build those connections that way. A new project is shown to them and they say, okay, yeah, this is cool. But they're not in love with it. My project, I'm slowly showing card by card throughout a number of years, maybe 2 years before it's available on shelves. And so people are not only engaging with it along the way and they're feeling like they're part of the process, but the other part of it is that they really are part of the process because I poll my followers, I ask them questions, I get their ideas because coming to this project from a graphic design and tarot standpoint, in the beginning, I really didn't know what toys were popular. I had to reach out and ask. I had to say, what toys do you want to see in this deck? Because I'm not doing this deck for me. It's all for you. What toys do you want to see? And so I've gotten some tremendous suggestions, a lot of them that I followed through on, and the deck is shaping up because of my engagement with the community.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're not only just kind of saying, well, what goes here? You're asking like even sex toy reviews with like retailers, with sex positive people, wellness coaches, anything like that too. So I love that you are kind of like listening and assigning role where it does fit, not exactly like where it would look like it would fit. Like it's actually has a meaning behind it, which is really nice. Have you read yourself or read anyone else with the deck or with the cards that you have done so far?
Well, I did my first printing a number of months ago. It was my progress up to date, which I think was 10 or 12 cards. And so I made a number of copies and I mailed them out to my really early supporters, my fans, and I kept a deck for myself. And so, to be honest, it's not that I've had them face down and I've done a traditional reading. No, I haven't engaged with them in that way. But designing them, I feel I read them every day. I read different, at any given point in time, many cards are being moved forward inch by inch. And so I'm looking and engaging with them on a daily basis, on an hourly basis. It seems like I really can't move away from this project for very long. And then my real tarot deck, a few of them are always within arm's reach. And so I'm always sort of reading the deck and reading into the meaning. I'll need to put a post out and I'll consider what two cards mean to each other and I'll write a little post about it. And so, being the designer, I have a bit of a different way of interacting with it. But
Yeah.
I guess the core of your answer is yes, I do read from my own deck. Every day. I think you have to as a tarot designer. You need to continually reassure yourself of the decisions you made, but also you need to explain the decisions you made to yourself and to other people so that you could find the words to understand them yourself. And I find that these interviews with these podcasts that I've been doing, like this one right here, each one sort of, I get better and better at explaining my point as I go, because just that practice in speaking about what you're doing really does help.
Right.
And it's just like they say, a writer should write every day. Well, I think a tarot reader should read the cards every day, and that's certainly a practice I follow.
Right. And if for anybody, listening to that is just not familiar with a tarot deck or really the symbolism, the history, the way that you feel about them, even if it's just, something kind of like off the table, off the wall, you would not like reach for it yourself. Like I encourage you to just like touch, feel, kind of like flip through cards and look up a meaning of like one that falls out of the deck for you, because it's interesting how like relevant it is to people, and the people that are kind of like pushing it away, seeing that first message that you're like, wow. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, I can dabble in this. I can get with this, because it's, you know, I'm not telling you go change religious beliefs, but just the universe gives you messages for a purpose. So
It just goes into the different ways that you can interact with the deck. You know, somebody who doesn't know too much about it can approach this deck and build connections, because maybe they see something familiar in a toy that they've interacted with. And I was talking to somebody who, well, the latest poll I think I gave was, should I put, let's say there's three toys by a specific company. Do I put all three toys on one card, or do I spread those three toys across the deck and pair them with other toys from other companies that work well with each other? Somebody said it'd be a shame to collect all the companies on one card and to have three characters on one card be represented by the same company, because I think people want ideas about where to go with their sex toys.
Yeah.
And so this is so important, to pair up toys that go well together across different companies to spawn those different ideas. Somebody might say, oh, I never thought about using this toy with this toy before. Right. And so it opens people up to whole varieties of different aspects as far as that concerned. And that's not even touching upon the spiritual aspect.
Right.
So there's a lot of different layers.
That's really important too, because we see that all the time where somebody's like, no, I want just this style toy, just this brand, just this. And it's like, well, you know, I agree, they're good stuff, but let's like expand like a little bit, because you're like, this is exactly what you're telling me, but it's not, you know, it always happens with the luxury products, like the Lalo and the WeVibe. People are like, I know what I like, and they make amazing toys, but why would you not want like something like a stimulating gel to enhance it, or, you know,
that's right.
Just
anything
else. So yeah.
Yeah. All these cards work together, and the four elements that are represented in the cards must all work together. And so I want to display toys that work well together, and not only toys, but like you said, stimulant creams, other types of BDSM gear. So any given toy shows a whole variety of like a whole universe within that card. It's like, you know, the different things that you can try out.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, that's awesome. I love it. I'm actually really excited for it to come out. When do you have like an end date of when you want the project done? I'm curious for myself.
Well, it's shaped up right now to be, so the calendar works out, we're headed through 2021. I would really like the crowdfunding campaign to happen in autumn 2021, maybe October or November.
Okay.
And so that crowdfunding campaign, I'm really excited for it. And I'm really excited to use the next year, really, to start promoting it, to get a lot of people behind it, because the strength of the project the strength of the crowdfunding campaign will determine how many decks I can print and how many decks will go out there in the world. So there'll be a lot more information coming about that. I'd like for the deck to be commercially available in the spring of 2022.
Okay.
So we start off the new year. We're headed into spring. It's rebirth, and the wheels are turning, and the Vibrating Tarot is now available in spring of 2022. So let's keep our fingers crossed. A lot has changed in the printing world, but tarot decks are still being made. Crowdfunding campaigns are still successful. So I think when my time comes, I'll be able to put it together pretty well.
Yeah. Okay. And then my last question for you, I guess, is, as somebody that is reading constantly and hopefully that's in touch with like their sexuality, doing all of this as well, what is your biggest piece of advice moving into 2021?
Let's keep an open mind.
Yeah.
I think that's what you and I were talking about before this interview. And that touches upon something that I think you and I haven't even really gotten to yet. But when you and I were first talking about doing this, I asked you for a suggestion for a certain card that aligns with the start of a new year. You gave me a great suggestion, and I started putting ideas together. And I think one of the main reasons you brought that up was because that's the message that you wanted. And I think that's the message that the tarot deck gives, is let's keep an open mind. Let's look at things in a different way. I'm offering you a different way to look at the tarot deck, and I'm offering you a different way to look at sex toys through my project. And so let's see what these cards have to offer. Let's see what they can tell us about ourselves. And let's keep an open mind about what that message is. And let's keep an open mind about exploring our own sexuality so that we can become stronger, healthier individuals, and so that we can help the people around us. And let's explore. Let's keep an open mind to explore new things, because I think that's what healthy sexuality is. It's new ideas. It's ever growing. It's new perspectives. It's positivity. And so I think that, you know, there are a lot of cards in the deck that embody this notion. The wheel card, the wheel of fortune, shows the wheel constantly circling, maybe through the calendar year or through our ups and downs, through our lives, through our careers, through our sexuality. And so maybe if the beginning of the calendar year isn't the right time for you, let's keep an open mind the whole year round. Let's say that 2021 is going to be a year of rebirth because of where we are culturally. You know, we're going to be moving on from whatever 2021 or whatever 2020 was to each and every one of us, which was a nightmare for a lot of us. So let's shake things loose and let's get some new ideas going. Let's get some positivity and some new perspectives.
Yeah, we need that.
Yeah. It's like the Fool card starting off the journey. The Major Arcana, once you get to the end of it, it's the World card. It's not the end of the journey. It's only the opportunity to restart the journey from the beginning, from a higher point of view, a more mature point of view. And you just go through all the same motions again from a higher understanding. And so that is how the World card turns back into the Fool, and you continually circle around like the Wheel of Fortune says.
Perfect.
Yeah. Did you want to talk about the Fool card?
Kind of. Yeah, I do. Let's touch on it a little bit because you haven't like released it, right? So we'll just...
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you and I had talked about its release being right here, right now.
Okay. Let's release it then.
do we want to do that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So
I'll let you talk about it. It's your project. So go ahead.
Well, it's the Fool card. It's an important card. It's the first card, and it's not card number one. It's card number zero, because you haven't started the journey yet. You start the journey with card number one. That's your first step. But you yourself are the Fool, the one taking the journey. And so the Fool is all of us at the beginning of our journey. And so what do we want to say with the Fool card in this particular project? I wanted to pick a toy that was very iconic, a toy that a lot of people not necessarily start out their toy collection with, but a good staple toy to have in an arsenal of beginner toys is the rabbit toy, different styles of rabbit vibrators. Mm-hmm. And visually, it fits really well because the Fool is reaching out with their hand, holding on to something, a staff with their belongings in a little sack. The rabbit, all the rabbit vibrators come up with that arm, and they're well positioned to hold that staff, visually speaking, on the card. And the suggestion from you came with the idea to use the bee vibe. Mm-hmm. Plug, and this is a fantastic toy as well. And so I've positioned the plug in the bottom right, sort of coming up at an angle, approaching the rabbit vibrator from behind. And what's going to happen is I'm going to use a variety of different rabbit vibrators. I think that's the gimmick here that's going to come down to, is that because there are so many different rabbit vibrators on the market,
yeah.
so many really great ones from so many different fantastic companies. And so I want to sort of show a variety of different rabbit vibrators in the place of the Fool to represent all the different voices that we have, all the different images of ourselves that we have. And so it was my intention to do two or three. And I thought, well, why not do 12? Why not do all of them? Why not do a whole campaign where I literally try and find every rabbit vibrator that there is and say, this is what they all look like on the Fool card. And we are all of them. They are all of us. All of these different colors and shapes and sizes and styles of rabbit vibrator represent all of our different body types and our maturity levels and our approaches to sex, our experience. And so yeah. I think that'd be a really cool thing to tie in. And so that's what I'm working on now.
Awesome.
But we're gonna keep the bee vibe in the corner, and we're gonna try out as many different rabbit vibes as we can. So I'd say by now they're uploaded. Let's take a look at them.
Yeah.
You can find me at Vibrating Tarot on anywhere on social media. So yeah, let's take a look.
Okay. Oh yay, I'm so excited. I love that this is happening with the multiple rabbits too, because for myself, I mean, I used to hate dual stimulators. Until you find the right one that fits your body correctly. So having that as the fuel for the journey, perfect. I love it. Especially with that little bee vibe too, because some people, are just different holes for different folks. So it works perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for joining the podcast, Frank. And yeah, I'll link your socials so
Thank
everybody
you.
Can check you out as well. Okay.
Thanks very much for having me. It's been a pleasure and an honor. And thanks for all your support. It's really been fantastic.
Of course, yes. And I will also link if you want to do the crowdfunding as well.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah. When
Yeah.
more information comes with that, I'll try and push it out as best I can. So we'll hook up again.
Yay.
We'll push that. Thank
Perfect.
you.
Lovers Lane.